Would you turn to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 9? I'd like to thank Mary tonight for coming among us. It's not the first time she's been here. I've seen her here before, but it's good to hear her. And the Lord bless you for telling us how you became a Christian. And it's the same for Andrew, as he's been called tonight, but it's usually Mitch that he goes by here. And he's here brave and often as well. And it's lovely to hear you sing. And Mitch, we'll call you both names tonight. Thank you so much for that. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Try to take that in. Many publicans and sinners. The publicans and sinners were the worst of people in society in Israel. And many of them have come now to sit down in the home of Matthew, who was one himself. Matthew was a tax gatherer. So what he has done, he has found out a way how he could get other people under the sound of the gospel. He made a feast and he brought them into his home and brought the Lord Jesus there so that the Lord Jesus would minister to them. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it's that last part of that verse, verse 13, the last part, that I want to draw your attention to for a few minutes as our meeting comes to a close. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want tonight to think with you about this call, the call of the Savior. Whenever the gospel is preached, the call of Christ goes forth in the preacher, the preaching of the gospel by the preacher. Whenever an individual Christian will witness to another person, the call of Christ is sounding out through that individual Christian. And as God's servants have been taking part in the meeting, and in these closing moments as the word of God is being proclaimed, the call of Christ is sounding forth. This is what gospel preaching is all about, the call of Christ sounding forth. The first thing then I want you to notice about this call of the Saviour's here that he refers to is the discrimination it reveals. Notice what he says there in that 13th verse. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So there is a discrimination here. He says, I'm not here to call the righteous, but I am here to call the sinners. Now, that's not discrimination in the wrong sense of the word, just because of people's circumstances, they're passed over for certain positions. We tend to think of that as discrimination. But the word discrimination here just means to make a difference. And the Lord says, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The righteous being the people who felt they were righteous in their own eyes and in their own thoughts, and who did not feel the need of any salvation at all. He was thinking especially of these people who had criticized Matthew and the disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this crowd of people who were deemed publicans and sinners. Now, the publican was the tax gatherer. The sinners were the people that the tax gatherers associated with, the outcasts of society of the day, as I've already noted. We read in Luke chapter 18 where the Lord Jesus showed the difference. He said that there were two people who went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisees were always good at parading their own self-righteousness. And on this particular instance, in Luke 18, that Pharisee who went to pray did that. He prayed with himself, the Lord Jesus said. He wasn't really praying to God at all. He was praying with himself and whoever else was around him. And he says, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. And then he listed a whole lot of things that the unconverted, the ungodly, who he deemed to be out and out sinners, did. He says, I thank you that I'm not even like this publican. Now, the publican was a sinner in the sense of the word that the publican understood it. He says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He confessed that he was a sinner, the sinner. But this Pharisee saw nothing wrong with himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, whenever the Sermon on the Mount, as it's been called, being preached, he said to the crowd, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise, in no case, enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord was not concerning himself with the people who didn't want him, the people who felt that they didn't need a Savior. He says, my message is not to them. I'm here to call the people who know that they're not good enough and that they are sinners. The Bible tells us, for that matter, that all are sinners. Even the Pharisees who thought they didn't need a Savior. Even the self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees who felt that their good works and religion was enough. All of us are sinners. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're told that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us is taken in here. We're all sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, my errand, my mission, my call is to men and women and young people who realize they're not good enough and they need a Savior. And he gave the illustration here, they that are whole need not a physician. A person who doesn't feel himself sick is not going to bother going to the doctor. But a person who does feel himself sick, unwell, you may say, there's something wrong with me. I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't feel right. And he'll take himself off to the doctor whenever that concern has got to such a state that he's getting desperate about his health. He knows there's something wrong with him. And men and women and young people, which of the two classes are you in here tonight? Are you in the class that feels that you're good enough because you don't do anybody any harm? Because you've got a smattering of religion? Or because you've got a good tradition and heritage? Or do you realize that while those things may be important, yet as far as you're concerned, you're not a Christian? You are realizing that you are a sinner. There's something lacking in your life. And you've come to the place where you realize, yes, I am living my life without any regard to God whatsoever, without any regard for the Bible, without any regard to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and shed his precious blood on the cross for sinners. And you come to the place, yes, I am willing now to take my place among this company. Well, if that's the case, that's a really good sign. And there is hope for such here tonight. God's call is to you. But I want you to notice the second thing here about this call, not only the discrimination it reveals, but the action that it seeks. The Lord says here, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I have come to call sinners to repentance. Now, what kind of a word is repentance? It's a word that should be to the forefront of gospel preaching. But sadly, it's often lacking. The two things, faith and repentance, go together. Whenever a man or woman is going to be a Christian, he has to repent. He has to repent of his sin. And very quickly, let me say a number of elements in that. First of all, there'll be information. He'll recognize that he's a sinner. Then secondly, there'll be consideration. He'll think about that for a while. When he hears the message, it might go against his grain. He may be offended because he's called a sinner. But he'll give it thought. That is, if he's on the road to repentance. He gets the information from the ministry of God's word. He'll begin to consider it. He'll come to the place where he'll say, yes, I know that I am a sinner. And then he will make a decision. And that decision will be, yes, I will trust Christ. And then comes the action. Will he follow through on the decision that he's made? Like the prodigal son, when he was sitting up in among the swine in the far country, he said, oh, in my father's house, I had enough and to spare. He says, I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. There was confession of his sin. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the Bible says, he arose and went to his father. He followed it through. And he was graciously received. What a welcome he got. And that's what the Lord wants from us tonight, young people and men and women. He wants action. If you hear the call of God to you tonight in the gospel, he wants action. He wants you to turn away from your sin, from that lifestyle that is contrary to God's word and contrary to the plan of salvation. And he wants you simply to change your mind about that and change your way of going. Turn right round and in faith, trust Christ to be your personal Savior. And this is what the call of the gospel is entailed. It's come to call sinners to repentance. And repentance is leaving your sin. As someone once penned the words, repentance is to leave the sins I loved before and to show that I in earnest grieve. By doing so no more. It's a break with sin. But the last thing is this. In this call of Christ's, not only the discrimination it reveals, he's come to call the sinner. Not only the action it seeks, he's calling sinners to repentance. But there's the transformation this call purposes. What is the purpose of this call? Why is he calling sinners? So that their lives will be changed. We heard it from Mary tonight. We've heard it from other people. Whenever they go on their own selfish way, ignoring God, ignoring his truth, they come to a place in their lives where they feel, yes, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell. There's only one way that I can be saved. It's through the Lord Jesus and his redeeming love and saving work on the cross at Calvary. When he shed his blood and died for us and rose again from the dead, there's only one way to be saved, and that's by trusting him. When that occurs, when that happens, what a wonderful change in our lives has been wrought when Jesus comes into our hearts. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's the forgiveness of all our sins. There's the saving of our souls. There's peace with God in our minds because there's peace with God because our wills have become one with his. We're not rebelling against him anymore. We're turning away from our sin and we're putting our trust in him alone for salvation. What a change. We sang it in one of our hymns. Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from Christ to depart. But Jesus hath found me. Happy my case. I now am a sinner. Saved by grace. All of this is entailed in the Savior's call. Do you hear him calling you tonight? Would you not turn from your sin? Would you not receive him as your Savior? Experience the wonderful transformation. All your sins forgiven. Peace with God and the peace of God. Purpose in life. Life itself. And then at the end of it on earth, to go to be with him in heaven forever. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Will you come tonight? Will you obey the call? Will you repent? Will you trust him now?